It's Thursday, so bring on those letters. Here to read through the mail with me is producer Christopher Johnson. Hey, Christopher.
Hey, Farai, what's happening?
I am good and ready for the first letter.
It comes from Michael Ellsworth in Chicago. He wrote in about your interview this week with two musicians from Sphinx. That's an organization that's trying to boost the numbers of blacks and Latinos in classical orchestras. Here's Aaron Dworkin, founder and president of Sphinx.
One of the reasons why the work that we do is so important is that nationally it's a little over, 1.5% of America's orchestras are African-American and similarly Latino. So it is very dramatic. And unfortunately, most of those numbers have been static for many years.
Now, for our listener, Michael Ellsworth was upset about a phrase you used in that interview, and he wrote this. You referred to the lack of black and Latino players in symphonies as a lack of, quote, artists of color. But classical symphonies have a very large number of Asian players, and Asians aren't white. You also failed to mention that classical auditions, unlike acting auditions, happen behind a curtain.
Well, Michael, I admit I didn't know about the blind behind the curtain auditions. As for the phrase people of color, you raise a good point. Thank you. And moving on, last week in our Africa Update segment, we discussed a story about Israel, which is turning away new Sudanese refugees. The topic is particularly hot because among the Sudanese seeking refuge are people escaping the genocide in Darfur. But David Lerner heard that story in New York, and he wrote, I was blown away last night to hear an American on your program saying that because the USA turned away Jewish refugees during World War II, who were subsequently slaughtered by the Nazis, Israel should take refugees from Darfur now. As Americans presumably deeply upset by our country's callous action back then, shouldn't you be talking about what America should do now for Darfur refugees? Or as African Americans, perhaps you'd talk about why Africans are killing each other and why other Africans aren't taking enough refugees or stopping the bloodshed. To focus blame for Darfur's refugee crisis on tiny Israel seemed bizarre indeed.
Well, David, we did follow up in this interview with a question about whether African Americans should take on extra responsibility for Darfuris, a question that a previous guest raised. But your point is a good one. And finally, we got a letter from Dan Bessie in Phoenix. Dan heard a story we did as part of our education series this month. And Farai, you spoke with a parent and two educators about some of the ways that parents and teachers can work together to help children learn better. Now, Dan enjoyed that story, but he had this question. What about those areas where the parents aren't involved? My wife teaches at an inner city school in Phoenix, and she constantly struggles with students who have no desire to take part in class or do their homework, and she gets no help whatsoever from the parents or guardians. I applaud those programs that encourage parent participation, but some people simply don't care. How do teachers fight that battle?
It's just another case of that OPTA.
Well, that's it for letters. Thank you to all of you for writing, and please keep them coming.
And if you want to drop us a note, just log on to npr.org and click Contact Us. It really helps if you tell us where you're writing from, and it really, really helps if you tell us how to say your name.
You can also leave us a voicemail at 202-408-1271. That's 202-408-1271.
There's also a News and Views blog.
Post your comments by going to nprnewsandviews.org.
We have a newsletter, too. You can go to the blog and find out how to sign up.
Well, as always, thanks, Christopher.
Anytime, for us.
It's just another case of that OPTA.